Welcome back to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening this week. We're looking ahead at 2017 with Derek Ham, senior reporter for News Service of Florida, Rosemary O'Hara, editorial page editor for the Sun Sentinel, and Gary Fineout is along with us from our sister station at WFSU. Gary is a reporter for the Associated Press in Tallahassee. Lots of issues still to get to for the state legislature, which it'll tackle in the months ahead when it begins its 2017 session in March. Let's talk about marijuana. Lawmakers will have to decide how to deal with the new legal medicine, marijuana, here in Florida. Over 70% of voters approved the constitutional amendment legalizing medicinal marijuana. The policy director for Drug-Free Florida, Jessica Spencer, wants the legislature to regulate the amount of THC available in the drug, that's the active ingredient, and to make sure it's not in candy form. She also wants local governments to be allowed to regulate where marijuana dispensaries are put in place.
And we need to make sure that we help the legislature strictly regulate this to make sure that this does not get in the hands of our children and people that do not need it.
So this is an expansion of medical marijuana in Florida. Rosemary O'Hara, it was just a few legislative cycles ago where the legislature moved on what's called Charlotte's Web, a marijuana-based oil for very specific epilepsy treatment. Now voters in Florida say we want it for 10 diseases and to be prescribed by a doctor. So what are the options the legislature has at this point?
Well, now that it's in the Constitution, the legislature has to have the implementing language to say how does it work. And local communities are waiting for direction. And in advance of that, a lot of them are imposing moratoriums because they're afraid, you know, what's going to happen here. And they do, like the speaker said, they do want to be able to say where does it go. They don't want clinic or dispensaries next to schools or churches or all in one area. But let us hope. And more people want the ability to get into the business of this. You know, for a free market legislature, they only allowed 6 companies to grow and distribute the non-euphoric medical marijuana. So Senator Jeff Brandis from the St. Pete area is saying, you know, let us not tie growth and distribution together. Let us let minority business owners get into this business. Let us create some regulations that allow cities to say where it goes and that it's not in candy form. But let's hope they get it right this time.
Gary, how about it? Is Florida ready for medical marijuana?
Well, I certainly think that there will be some sort of an effort in the legislature to address the issue and to implement the amendment.
Hey, Derek, Jason, you hear me?
The devil's going to be in the details.
Okay, good. Stand by.
Whether or not there's any special little restrictions or things that they don't want to put in place. I would say that there's another issue that sort of isn't discussed as much regarding all of this, and that is the role of physicians. I think the thing that we're going to have to see is whether or not physicians in the state of Florida are going to be willing to go through the hurdles put in place by the state in order to prescribe medical marijuana. I think that there's been sort of there have been some physicians who signed up to do that, but I think it'll be interesting to see whether or not you continue to get some resistance from the medical community. I don't have the exact numbers off the top of my head, but I think it's been a very small number so far of physicians who've been willing to register with the state and to go through the education training that is required in order to be certified as a prescriber of it.
Derek Ham, with News Service of Florida, is there anything in the legal framework that the legislature did around the Charlotte's Web, the non-euphoric THC oil that it has approved, that is going to be applicable as it looks toward this broader constitutional amendment now built into Florida law?
I think what they're going to try to do is to limit the number of licenses, because the governor and a lot of the legislators have this aversion to what they say is going to be a pot shop on every corner. And so they've limited the number of licenses for folks who can grow, process, and distribute the medical marijuana. Folks who passed Amendment 2 say that the number of licenses, so there are now 7 dispensing organizations, and they can have as many dispensaries as they want. So I think there's going to be a fight over, there already is shaping up to be a fight over how many licenses they will give out. Certainly, if you've only got that number of growers, they say that they can meet the capacity for however many patients Florida will generate. Right now, they're estimating 500,000 patients, but it could be much, much more than that. So the current seven, there may soon be eight, will be able to meet that capacity. But the question is, you know, do they want, how many dispensaries will they have?
Right.
Will they be able, will it, and that is going to be an issue. As Rosemary said, communities now are wanting to issue moratoria on these because there's a concern about, even if it is medicine, it isn't viewed as medicine. I got an email from a reader. I've gotten several of these saying, please don't call it pot. This is medicine. When you call it pot, you're buying, you know, you're perpetuating this myth that this is people out on the corner rolling up doobies and getting high.
I think all of us in the media that have looked for other words other than marijuana, pot, weed, whatever it is, we wind up getting those emails as well. Rosemary?
Yes, cannabis is, I guess, the preferred word. You know, 71% of Floridians voted for this. A majority of Democrats, a majority of Republicans, a majority of independents voted for this. If you're sick and you have certain conditions, if you're going through chemotherapy and this is the one thing that means that you're not going to be hanging your head over the toilet all day long, then let people get it. And okay, you know, regulate where it can go. But, you know, the other thing that may happen here if cities get, you know, do citywide bans on it, you know, there's also the idea that it can be delivered in the mail. And so, you know,
it can't be delivered in the mail, Rosemary, because it's illegal under federal law. It would be a federal crime to deliver it by the mail. So you would have to have it delivered by courier.
Okay.
All of those questions the legislature now has to wrestle with when it comes to medical marijuana. But there's also another drug issue that the legislature may have to address. And this is the epidemic of opioid overdoses. This is just a awful story that continues to rack up its victims in very, very difficult ways. The Palm Beach County Fire Rescue Department, for instance, has told us it answered about 4,000 overdose calls in 2016. It's about $1,000 per call. And certainly a financial cost is not the only cost of this opioid overdose situation. But that's $4 million in public money being spent on those overdose calls. The Delray Beach Fire Rescue has implemented a mental health counseling for firefighters who are on the front lines of this. U.S. Congresswoman Lois Frankel sat in on a roundtable discussion in Delray Beach recently, and she told us this.
I heard things today that I probably never thought about. For example, the traumatic effect on rescue workers, firefighters, and police who are having to deal with all these deaths almost every single day. The number of people who are overdosing, just repeated over and over. It's almost like a carnage of humanity.
A carnage of humanity. There's the human scale of this. There's the personal cost, the economic cost. Rosemary, we see it in Broward County, in Palm Beach County, in Miami-Dade. We see it across the state of Florida. What are the options in front of the legislature, and do you think it'll act?
Boy, I wish I knew the answer to it. You know, I mean, part of the epidemic, the growth came from the closing of pill mills.
Right.
People are addicted to medication, to pain medication. Then came the, you know, heroin is cheaper and actually easier to get, and fentanyl is on the street. You know, I think people who are in the drug addiction treatment, that we need to focus more on that. I know there have been some efforts with needle exchanges and allowing. I think we need to listen to the people who are on the front lines about how do you rein this in? But in the meantime, we see the pictures. Those pictures of the people in the car, and they're knocked out, and their kids sitting in the back seat. And but most times we don't see the faces of the people who are dying. But it is an epidemic in our community, and it deserves the public spotlight.
A few years ago, Broward County addressed the FLACA crisis. If you remember that, in the summertime, there was a huge spike in the number of FLACA drug cases winding up in hospital emergency rooms. And it had a really coordinated local law enforcement response that took sheriff's deputies and investigators to China. It was a real local response. Is there a lesson there to be learned? Or for that matter, a void for the state potentially to help fill in for these local communities battling these kinds of epidemics?
Yeah, I think that it does take a concerted effort. And a lot of this fentanyl stuff is coming from China. But, boy, I wish I knew what the answer was here.
Gary Fineout, veteran watcher and chronicler of all things Tallahassee in the state legislature. How about it? Is this on the radar ahead of the 2017 session?
Well, I think I'm going to defer to Dara on this because I think this is an issue that she's been following a little bit more closely. Because I've heard some discussion. I think there's some lawmakers who are focused on this, but I don't think it's risen up to the higher levels yet. Dara, please correct me.
Yeah. No, I think Gary's absolutely right. We aren't hearing about it in Tallahassee. And I think that think about where we got to with the pill mill crisis before the legislature actually started to do something. I mean, we were nationally, this was a black eye for the state. Not that folks are coming in from out of other states like they were with the pill mills, but this is an issue that the legislature does not like to deal with. And I think what they're going to do is they're going to view it as a law enforcement issue. And I think that's going to be a terrible mistake because it really is a healthcare issue. And the legislature just does not like to fund substance abuse treatment programs. I mean, let's face it. This is what we need. We need it in prisons and we need it for people who are addicted. Every person in the substance abuse recovery movement predicted that we would have this heroin epidemic once they shut down the pill mills. And it's exactly what has happened. It should not come as a surprise to anyone on the local level or at the state level. And the legislature really does need to step up to the plate and start doing something about it. It's not something that the local governments are going to be able to deal with individually. They really need to fund the substance abuse. I mean, that's how you stop and prevent this from getting to the point where we are right now.
Rosemary, we've seen roundtables, we've heard roundtables with federal legislators, with local delegations in Palm Beach County. I know they've focused on it with first responders. But to rise to that level within Tallahassee, a committee hearing, or for that matter, to move from the law enforcement debate to a healthcare debate, from a funding of interdiction, which could be, you know, international drug policy, to something that is more local regarding sober home policies.
Right.
What would it take?
You know, it would take the face of little kids. Unfortunately, the faces of the people who are suffering from drug abuse or mental health care or homelessness or the people who need the safety net that our government is there supposedly to provide don't have the kind of faces that people care about. So at a time when our state is supposedly doing better than it ever has, we rank at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to funding some of these social programs. We can't find ways to give pay raises to the people in the prisons. So, it takes a priority. And for some reason, those in Tallahassee think people need to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. They need to be responsible for themselves. And what they fail to forget is that the people in all of our families are suffering from drug addiction or mental health. And when it hits home, when it hits one of their families, I guess that's really what it needs. We need the Speaker of the House's family, someone there to have mental health illness or drug addiction, and then it'll hit home.
One of the issues we know is on the agenda for the upcoming session in Tallahassee is guns. We know guns will be a focus of a number of pieces of legislation. Florida Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Greg Stube has introduced one measure that would allow Floridians with concealed weapons licenses to openly carry handguns. It would also expand the places where people with concealed weapons licenses are allowed to carry those guns.
With the things that we have seen and the terrorism attacks that we've seen across our state and our nation, I think people have the right through the Second Amendment and to protect themselves to be able to carry and do that. And it's very important to me that people have the ability to defend themselves, and that's why I keep pushing bills like this.
Of course, this comes after the June terrorist attack at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. Gary Fineout, the likelihood of expanded gun legislation in the upcoming session, a year ago, it failed. What about the coming session?
Oh, I think it's going to be quite an interesting situation. I think that one of the key things that has happened recently is that the bills have been filed, and then the Senate president basically assign them to committees that would appear to be favorable to the to allowing it move through the process. And I know sometimes we get focused on procedural questions, but that's what happened the last 2 years, is some of these gun bills got bogged down in committees, right, where you had senators who weren't favorable to the outcome. That's changed now. I think it's very interesting that Senator Stube's bill, which lifts gun restrictions in several different places, schools and the legislature itself and colleges, that this bill basically is not going to go through the Criminal Justice Committee. And it only has three stops. And so I'm assuming they intend this bill to make the floor of the Senate, and I think if it makes the floor of the Senate, then it very well could wind up on the desk of Rick Scott.
Is this, Dara or Rosemary, is this bill, does its fate change because of Pulse at all? The procedural issues that Gary identified, which are certainly accurate, but what has changed since the last legislative session, in addition to the procedures that this legislation could take, is of course the Pulse nightclub attack.
I don't think this is Dara. I don't think that the Pulse nightclub attack will have any impact on gun legislation. I'd be interested if anyone thinks that I'm wrong about that, but I think that
Rosemary's nodding in agreement with you.
They love guns, and one of the major roadblocks to these gun bills was Senator Diaz de la Portilla. Miguel Diaz de la Portilla was
Miami senator, right?
That's right, the Miami senator who lost his reelection bid to a Democrat down there this fall. And, you know, without him really pretty much single-handedly blocking some of these bills, they would have gone through. I don't think that Pulse, and please don't misunderstand me, Pulse was a horrible tragedy. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not making a judgment about whether it should have an impact or not. I just don't think it will.
Let me bring in one other issue the legislature is likely to face, and that is energy. Lawmakers have another constitutional amendment that voters okayed about renewable energy, solar power, allowing property owners to put up and use solar panels without impacting the value of their homes. The idea is that could encourage folks to use solar power here in the Sunshine State. Rosemary, any anticipated response from Tallahassee, which has shown really not a whole lot of interest when it comes to the expansion of solar power, at least at the homeowner level and the property owner level?
You know, I haven't heard anything. It was sort of the industry was so devastated by the collapse of their $21 million spending spree to try to fool voters with a constitutional amendment that presumably promoted solar that I'm not aware of any legislation that would. You know, the other side, there had been a second push to try to allow, limit some of the regulations on people who put solar panels on their home. Mm-hmm. That might come back legislatively, but I'm not aware of something specific.
All right. We got more to come here as we look ahead to 2017 here on the Florida Roundup. Will next year be the year of the big idea for untying transportation in South Florida? That's next as the Florida Roundup continues.